WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. In his inauguration address, President Trump said he would sign a series of executive orders on this, his first day in office.
With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense.
CBS's Natalie Brand reports Trump will have an audience of 20,000.
Trump plans to sign some actions in front of supporters packed into Washington's Capital One Arena, topping the list, declaring an emergency at the southern border.
Trump has already shut down the app migrants were using to seek asylum in the U.S. Supporters waited outside the arena for hours for a chance to get in for this evening's celebration, an indoor inaugural parade.
We're huge supporters of Trump, and he's done a lot for us, and so this is the least I could do.
The White House now says former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy will not serve in Trump's new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. He's expected to run for governor of Ohio instead. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will have an easier way to file their state taxes for free this year. According to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, residents will be able to use the IRS Direct File system for their state taxes after integrating the program with the WisTax state tax return platform. Taxpayers will be able to use the software to automatically import their W-2 and 1099s into the system. The individual tax filing season will begin on January 27th, and residents can check their eligibility and register through the system on the IRS Direct File website. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced about $1 million in additional funding for programs to train students for careers in fields like manufacturing and construction. According to a press release, the department will award grant funding ranging from $5,000 to $100,000 for school districts with programs aimed at helping students join the skilled workforce. Those programs could include things like machining, biotechnology, robotics, or healthcare, and applications are due by February 18th. A Barron County man was found guilty of hit and run involving death by a jury on Thursday following a two-day trial. The jury found 32-year-old Tyler Baker guilty of fleeing the scene after colliding with 37-year-old Charles Key on Highway M in August of 2023. Key was flown from the scene of the crash for treatment, but later died at the hospital from the injuries he sustained. Baker was charged nearly 1 year ago and is facing up to 25 years in prison and a fine of up to $100,000 when sentenced following the conviction. The City of Durand Police Department has responded to a letter accusing them of dropping an unhoused individual off in Eau Claire. The City of Eau Claire sent a letter to Attorney General Josh Call last week detailing similar incidents with the Durand and Menominee Police Departments and St. Croix County Sheriff's Office. In a press release, Chief Stan Ridgway said the referenced unhoused individual had asked about nearby shelters, but there was no space in the local area, so they chose to bring her to the Sojourner House in Eau Claire. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The national championship tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football's championship game is tonight in Atlanta. Ohio State against Notre Dame inside the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Dome. It's the first time in 12 years the Fighting Irish have played in the championship. The Buckeyes were there in 2020. Notre Dame, 8.5-point underdogs. Kickoff on ESPN at 6:30. The Wisconsin Badgers say freshman defensive back Xavier Lucas signed a 2-year NIL agreement early last December to remain with the Badgers for another 2 more years. Lucas has since moved on to the Miami Hurricanes, has hired lawyers to fight the dispute. NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers, 123-109. So how did the Bucks go from a 1-6 start to the season to now winning 4 in a row?
For us, you know, at times we were focused, at times we wasn't focused. But overall, we played a good game. It doesn't matter, we won the game. You know, now it's 4 in a row. Thank you, Mr. Dan. It doesn't matter. We won the game.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 7 below zero at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks.
are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da
bubba? Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part. You can participate 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Just PS on the board. And super jazzed as hell, it's Monday. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, on this historic day. Harvey, welcome to the show, man.
I'm not in a good mood. Yeah, I can tell you that.
Come on. We're going to work on you, Harvey. Come on. You're not in a good mood. If we don't laugh, we're going to cry, Harvey. So break it down. Break it down to me, brother.
I can laugh. I can laugh all right.
Okay, good.
And I might not have been as utterly outraged as I would be, but there was a tweet that I saw maybe an hour ago or so, in which it was pretty clear that Elon Musk was so excited and so thrilled by events that he did a serious and very aggressive Nazi salute.
Twice.
Heil Hitler salute.
Twice. Yeah.
Two times
it was,
in a row.
Yeah, Harvey, and I saw it on the Independent, just pointed it out to me, and he was very excited, and he slaps his chest hard,
yeah,
and straight up, like, I mean, equivocation. There was no doubt what that was. Even if he thought, wow, that's a little weird, he turns around to the crowd behind him, Harvey, and does it again. Elon Musk throwing out the Nazi salute. But, you know, Tesla.
Yeah, we just found out today that it looks like Green Bay City police have an unmarked Tesla in their car ranks. So, yeah, right.
Great.
It's not enough we're giving him billions to go to Mars. We're giving him money out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, the home of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Harvey, what was, I got to tell you, man, and it's hard to really shock me these days. I'm a kind of a callous traveled guy. But when I saw Musk do that, it was like a slap in the face, because it wasn't even close to being something else. And then he did it twice. It's like they're up there trying, like telling us, yeah, here it is. What are you going to do about it? That's kind of how I felt, Harvey. What was your take?
Yeah, you can imagine my take. But let me pass this along. A very old friend of mine who was a student of mine, must have been 40 years ago, okay, an Army veteran, kid who grew up here. Well, he's not a kid any longer, obviously. Grew up here in Green Bay, you know, attended Lutheran churches. And he sent me a note about the fact his mom passed away just in the last several days. And she was a child in Holland, in the Netherlands, under the Nazi occupation. And she never, ever forgot the darkness that prevailed. And he said that it just, when he saw what Musk did, he wanted to vomit.
It's disgusting. It's terrible. And it should be roundly rejected by anybody who sees that. And that's what really, apart from the act itself, it will be the reaction or lack thereof of the MAGAs and the supporters of Elon Musk to what? Just give it a, eh, oh, well, that's just how it is.
That's not what he was doing. He was just so excited. He just wanted to throw his arm out there.
So excited, he revealed himself is the way
yes.
I look at it.
Isn't okay. that a so lot of excited. That going around? A lot of that going yeah. around.
Yeah. I mean, I was. God. Yesterday I read in all the newspapers, it said today's speech was Trump was going to appeal to the concept of unity in America. The media bought right into it, right into it. And I thought, well, that'll be a good trick. So I went back to look at his American Carnage speech
yes.
of 2017, that inaugural address. And I can tell you, as bad as that American Carnage speech was, it wasn't, as bad as the speech today at all, okay? I mean, it had the same promises, empty, well, he didn't promise the nightmares he's now promised, but he did promise jobs, he was going to make the border safe. Back then, he promised new roads, new highways, new bridges, new airports, new tunnels, new railways. Well, where did that go? Okay.
There was infrastructure week every 2 weeks for 4 years, Harvey. It never
right.
happened.
The only infrastructure was pieces of a wall, right?
Yeah.
Pieces of a wall. Like
that Mexico
Berlin
was going to pay for that they never did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. This time, the one promise watch he'll keep, he'll get Congress to approve the idea of changing Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America.
I mean,
Which, by the way, that was the funniest moment. That was close to it was in the top 10 funny moments in the speech.
Because people were laughing at him literally as he was talking about it. What's your thought on the shiny objectism of these kinds of things? Number one, should New Mexico be concerned? And number two, does it really matter? Like, is that something that, you know, certainly he didn't run on this. I'm going to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. It seems asinine. I mean, everyone else is going to go along. I mean, I don't even want to go down that road because it doesn't.
Okay,
I do want to know, because do you think it's out there just to distract us?
Of course it is. Absolutely is. Look, it's like a good example of culture wars at the international level. Okay. By the way, you said New Mexico a little while ago. Did he promise to change the name of New Mexico?
No, I'm throwing it out there though, man. I mean, everyone should be concerned. And New York, I don't know what's going to happen there, but yes, New Mexico specifically. That's all on me though.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I mean, it really was an absolutely abysmal speech. And I got notes, which we can
refer
to. Well,
yeah, I mean, I want to get your sense. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. This is our guest this hour, Harvey Kaye. He's a professor emeritus of democracy, the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Democracy, the key word there, professor. What was the, in a speech full of BS and blather, what was the most striking thing to you?
Well, right off the top, he struck me. That's all I can say. When he said, over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history. And I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one. 250 years. Now, wait a second. Just wait a second. I'll grant him a whole host of presidents who didn't get tested very much, okay? But Abraham Lincoln, I think, was tested far more than this yo-yo, okay, who's now become president. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously speaking. And then to add to it, I mean, you knew he was going to do something like it, but it nevertheless still just was, I was saved by God to make America great again.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he didn't get tested at all, right? Not at all.
Not at all, not at all.
And John Wilkes Booth gave him the final shot, you might say.
A little lack of self-awareness. And of the testing that he went through was all of his own accord. It was based on his actions as a private citizen, based on his actions as a candidate, based on his actions as a president, and based on his actions as a former president with regards to the documents case. I mean, these are issues
right.
and trials and tribulations that Donald Trump brought upon himself. And as we look back on it now, Harvey, our institutions, to my opinion, have wholly failed us, because now here he is again.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how many times he mentioned, I love this line, we will not forget our Constitution and we will not forget our God. At the, you know, and there they were sitting in the rotunda. And that, surely, I mean, a lot of us must hold on to those images of those truly fiercest MAGA folks walking through the rotunda carrying the American flag with the pointed tops, with, you know, carrying nooses or whatever else they were, they had in tow. I mean, unbelievable how the likes of the former presidents, how the likes of Jeffries and others could sit there. I mean, I have to say this. I'm not a big fan of the Democrats, okay, in the last 50 years. But I will say they have far more patience, and they must have been on some kind of downer. They must have been on something to pacify them, because you couldn't sit there and not laugh at least, right? Laugh at least.
My understanding, Hillary Clinton may have laughed a little bit when Trump was talking about the Gulf of America. What the guest list, Harvey, the billionaires. Oh, yeah. I mean, the billionaires. It's us v them, man. You know, is this the most basic breakdown of what the problems that we have? It's the rich versus everybody else.
Here's something. This is interesting, right? You can imagine the guy, you know, the military chorus and band, those kinds of folks, they can't dissent, right?
Right.
They're under orders. These are billionaires sitting there. Now, I'll grant Elon Musk is clearly salivating. I mean, he must have had an orgasm when Trump said they were going to take us to Mars.
Yeah. Right? Well, based on the number of kids, that happens quite a bit.
And what was the guy?
I heard most of them were conceived via IVF.
What's the name of the guy who heads Meta and Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Now, Zuckerberg, he's in debt to Trump, because didn't Trump appoint Zuckerberg's father to be the ambassador to France, is it? If I got the right billionaire?
Okay, not clear.
He had been in prison for utterly outrageous acts in that he committed in New Jersey. And he came out, maybe it was pardoned by Trump, who knows? And I think he got that appointment. I could be wrong, but I think that was the case. But the others, I don't understand why Bezos would bow to the likes of Trump. That I know one can come up with a whole concocted explanation, but even to this day, the guy is so rich, right? Surely he could say, to hell with this, well, you know?
Harvey, come on, man. I'm not rich, and I wouldn't bow to any of those cats, dude.
Exactly. I mean, sorry, you can see I'm just still flabbergasted what I saw today. Okay. I mean, and by the way, I don't want to forget a couple of historical points here. So I had a text from the former director of the FDR Library, a very prominent figure, was a journalist and historian. And he said to me, he believes, and this is one where I'm going to offer a real critique of FDR. When FDR was president, he made three terrible mistakes. Well, two in particular. Okay. The third one we don't
Harvey,
know. To
Harvey, understand. hang on. What? We got to go to a break. And I want to hear the three terrible mistakes of FDR, because we like to keep the history going here. We're fans of FDR, but we can always build upon the lessons learned. And we're learning today from Professor Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Hold those thoughts. Come back with us. We'll take some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, talking about the inauguration actions today, putting it in a historical context. And just real quick, Harvey, one of the texters chimed in. It was Kurt Kushner's dad that is now the ambassador to France. Remember Kushner, the son-in-law, who got a couple of billion dollars from the Saudi investment fund after they hacksawed a Washington Post journalist. But please, I digress. We're talking about Harvey. Hang on. I'm not hearing Harvey with us.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to be corrected. Thank you.
Yes.
That's great. Happy to be corrected. And I was about to tell you in the first segment the mistakes that FDR made. One was the mistake that he failed to get Congress to lift the quotas on refugees. So too many Jews did not make it to the United States and refuge. The second one was he bowed to the wishes of the Army brass and Navy brass and did not desegregate the military when they instituted the draft, though they did recruit and African-Americans served proudly in the ranks of the U.S. military in World War II. But the really tragic one, one of the worst cases of civil liberties, trod upon, was the executive order that commanded Japanese Americans living on the West Coast to report to internment centers, and then they were transported to internment camps in the American interior. And what Trump has done, if he signed it today, the executive order, is reminiscent of that in this executive order that's going to round up, okay, Mexican Americans who are here in this country, perhaps many of them undocumented. But the big thing is, and I fear this, I was saying to Justin, I really do fear the degree to which the folks who are assigned the job, the ICE agents, will end up rounding up many a Latino American who is a resident alien with documents and or possibly a U.S. citizens. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw what happened when people were boarding planes and merely names made them turn up on anti-terrorism lists.
Yeah.
Well, if you're rounding up millions of people, supposedly, you can imagine what's going to be pulled in that kind of, what do they call those, dragnets? What's going to be pulled in those terms? I mean, a horrific kind of activity.
That's an excellent point, Harvey. And you know, history has judged FDR and this country for those actions. of the Japanese internment camps. Do you make a distinction between those folks who are here without legal documentation versus the Japanese living in California, the West Coast, back in World War II?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, there's not a direct parallel, but it's reminiscent. And this is what I received as a message from the former director of the FDR Library, that kind of idea. Let me also add another historical thing, which people may not realize. He mentioned in his speech the Alien Act of 1798. Okay. Now, the Alien Act empowered, you know, American agents to round up French and other folks who might be viewed as sympathetic to the French Revolution, okay, and somehow a threat to American security. Well, it wasn't just the Alien Act. It was the Alien and Sedition Acts, okay? This was under John Adams. And the Sedition Act, and you take one, he's going to institute one, let's see if he steps to the next. This is the Sedition Act, which made it illegal to criticize president and the federal and his government. And by the way, was also instituted during World War One by the Wilson administration to silence dissent. And, you know,
Harvey, and those are great points with regards to the 1798 Aliens Enemies Act. Don't we need to be in some sort of declared war or actual invasion, you know, perpetrated by a specific country against us? I mean, there's qualifications to engaging, to my understanding of the reading, to claiming these acts. Of course, everything he does is going to bring
lawsuits.
We were
not in a state of war in 1798.
Right.
We were not in a state of war, okay? It's that the Federalists were pro-British in their war with France, and the Jeffersonian Democratic Republicans, as they were called, were generally sympathetic to the French because it was had overthrown a monarchy. That okay, now this was sometime after the actual, you know, the worst case scenarios of beheadings, etc., in the French Revolution. But it was the case that this was a leftover element of just that. Okay.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, any action taken by Trump, especially when engaging in the Alien Enemies Act from 1790, they're going to draw all sorts of scrutiny, lawsuits, and so on and so forth. How do you think that's going? What's the resistance going to be? Will it be effective? Will it delay these things? How do you see that playing out, at least in the short run?
Yes, there will definitely be lawsuits. I mean, within moments of the inauguration, there was a lawsuit taken by a group against Doge. How do they pronounce that?
Doge, yeah.
Doge, okay, because they're pursuing actions in private, in secret, which would be subject to what are they, in Wisconsin we used to have that, the open meetings law,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they're saying this is unconstitutional. Well, by the way, it's essentially unconstitutional, I'm sure, because they've created a government agency in their minds that doesn't exist in reality. But he said he's gonna make that a reality next. I mean,
yep.
And by the way, he basically still left open the door to a military occupation of the Panama Canal. Okay, I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, truly outrageous that this. By the way, I mean, another one. They're just flashing through my brain right now. Yeah.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Come back with us. We're going to continue the conversation. Also, got some audio of Trump complimenting Elon Musk for his putting the rocket and having the rocket land and then going out and campaigning for him in Pennsylvania. And, oh, yeah, he really knows a lot about those voting machines and all those computers. Wondering what that's all about. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin State Supreme Court candidate Judge Susan Crawford visited western Wisconsin this weekend for campaign stops. The Chippewa Falls native visited Rice Lake on Saturday to speak with voters about her background and the importance of the April Supreme Court election. Judge Crawford is running against former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, and the election will determine whether the court remains in liberal control or returns to conservative control, with issues like abortion access and the governor's veto power at stake. The Wisconsin Innocence Project has announced a $1.5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Justice to use DNA technology to reinvestigate past cases. According to organization officials, the funding will be used to hire another investigator and two more attorneys to help go through about 100 applications. They believe the funding will allow them to fully investigate about a dozen more cases this year, which could lead to litigating a few of them. The project has a dedicated focus to revisit convictions for members of minority populations. The Chippewa County Board has approved grant funding for Hope Village as the organization seeks to bring more affordable housing to the area. The board voted 18-1 to approve the nearly $2.7 million grant at their last meeting. The funding will allow Hope Village to convert the Indian Head Motel in Chippewa Falls into an affordable housing complex as the region struggles with a growing unhoused population and lack of available housing. The organization is also pursuing the needed permits and more funding from state sources. Barron County officials are reminding residents that real estate taxes are due in the next couple of weeks. According to County Treasurer Samantha Sommerfeld, Barron County only collects taxes for the town of Almena and delinquent taxes from the year prior. Residents will need to pay their real estate taxes directly to their town, village, or city by January 31st if they want to avoid the added cost of interest and penalty charges. January 31st is also the deadline for residents to file for the lottery and gaming credit for 2024. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 9 below zero.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. That Creep Show, it ain't here. We've got just on the board, Harvey K. on the line. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. A couple of topics I also want to get to while we have a moment here. Folks, you know how we play the game here on the Dom Salvi Show. The last segment of the game of the day, we want to hear something good. Jess wants to hear something good, and I like to appease Jess. So we want to hear something good from you. I got something in mind. If you got something to say, something good, something, a positive note to end the show on, hit us up on the text or the lines, 855-752-4842. Always ending on a happy note, Harvey. Donald Trump and Elon Musk, with regards to the Pennsylvania voting, I guess. Bear with me, Harvey. Let's throw this one out there. This has been a topic of conversation for a lot of us in on the show here. Let's hear what Trump had to say about Elon.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy, and he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote-counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Whoa, thank you, Elon, what? For stealing Pennsylvania. I mean, now, Harvey, when we talked about Elon Musk giving the Nazi salute today, it was like
twice.
He was so excited. It kind of showed the truth. Do you think there's a little bit of that going on there?
I had not heard that before.
I know, right?
It was from last night. Thank you, Cam, actually, for flagging that and sending it to me.
I knew I'd have to listen to the inaugural address today, so I couldn't imagine doing that last night.
Oh, right. Goodness. Double duty for real.
Oh, wow.
There are concerns, and we have some callers that have brought that up to us. Does that concern you, Harvey, in any way? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I'm sure a guy who believes the 2020 election was stolen from him, okay, and given his own record, would care little if somehow allies of his made every effort to guarantee a number that may not match actuality.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly concerning, Harvey. You know, I mean, we can't be living in that kind of world where anybody.
Well, there is a group. You mentioned the possibility of lawsuits. There is a group apparently that is immediately taking out a suit, demanding that Trump be impeached again.
And for what reason this time?
I don't know.
It doesn't
mean a whole host of reasons. Maybe you just mentioned one. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's kind of like the pardons that Biden gave. Just in case something went wrong, we're going to give out. Before we get to the callers, I want to get your opinion on the Joe Biden pardons. He pardoned General Milley. He pardoned the J6 committee. He pardoned some of the Capitol Police, apparently, and members of his own family. Just kind of general pardons without really articulating what crime they committed or what the point was. And I'm critical of the move. I mean, I guess I get it. Would I do the same thing to my friends and family? Maybe. But I think it does not bode well for you know, what Trump and future presidents would do. Harvey, what's your sense of the Biden pardons?
You just spoke exactly what's been on my mind, okay? Not something that I relish. I don't think this is something that, I mean, it sets a difficult and challenging precedent. That is, how do we counter such things in the future? They can't be countered. I never liked the idea of a licensed, but uncontrolled presidential pardon system. It's reminiscent of kings of the Middle Ages,
right,
and early modern era. And I thought we were not living in a monarchy. However, the Supreme Court decided that what you do while you're president can, right? I mean, that's what they did. They basically absolved him of any crimes that he might have committed, which is basically a royal kind of position to be in, to be free of those kinds of prosecutions. On the other hand, we know what happens when people get fed up with monarchs in 17th century England, and late 18th century France. So I wouldn't welcome the idea of monarchy if I were a leader, I could tell you that. There is something, but you know, but to go back to your question about the pardons, I have no difficulty understanding why he did it,
right?
Given the madman who's in the White House. That's the best. I mean, that's the only way to put it. Today's speech was truly a sign of the madness that prevails.
Well, we all saw it coming. 855-752-4842. Let's get a couple of callers on. We have our guest, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Cam from Appleton, you are up. You flagged that sound for us. Cam, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. My thoughts are we need to be taking this stuff more seriously, like I've been trying to say for a while now. It falls in line with exactly what the data that we were seeing, that the votes don't add up once they get to the tabulators, that there is something that is manipulating the votes between the tabulators and the voting machines. And then anything that gets output of that, because people are able to connect to the tabulators if they have a license, those reports generated are not accurate. They're numbers that are not possible, period. It's not, well, maybe if the stars aligned, it's just not possible. And they end up following the same kind of curves on graphs. If you graph out all the votes for the U.S. for Trump, they follow the same kind of shape as something called a Russian tail, which is the same kind of patterns you see when Putin gets his votes.
Hmm. Thank you for the call, Cam, and thank you for the flag. I guess, you know, Harvey, my concern about that is beyond sounding like the Trumpsters did after 2020, is, you know, at least what they filed like 60 lawsuits and went after all sorts of things to try to prove, quote unquote, that the election was stolen in 2020 for Biden away from Donald Trump. And they lost all those things. And Cam has been one of the folks that have been very on this issue. I've had other callers and friends that have brought this up as well, saying the numbers just don't quite do it. But my concern is, well, if that's the case, where are the lawsuits? Where's the proof? Where's where's the docs? Where are those happening?
Well, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Where's the mobilization? This is a sad state of affairs. You know, I can imagine the conversations that have taken place. You know, look, I have had very good friends who are leading conservative intellectuals, one of whom was a national celebrity as such. And I had him out here to speak. It's a whole long story, which is very entertaining, but I can't take up the whole half hour that way. Here's the deal. He came to stay and he stayed at our house, an older man. He's passed away a few years ago. But we were sitting talking and I brought up the 2000 election when the Supreme Court stole the election for Bush.
From
and
Gore,
he said, well,
yep.
He said, well, the mafia stole the 1960 election for Kennedy. Well, you can imagine in the conversations that politicians have, they say, well, it happens in American public life and we're not above it. You know, it's scary, right? It's scary to think that there would be that kind of manipulation. And as I said, normally I wouldn't take it very seriously, but I mean, lately things have happened that I just never thought would happen. And here, let me shift the gears a bit.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what to say about
it. No, I get it. I mean, yes, go ahead.
Here, this was a line in the speech today. I want to hear your opinion.
Yes.
He said, above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and vitality of history's greatest civilization. So as we liberate our nation, we will lead it to new heights of victory and success. We will not be deterred. Together, we will end the chronic disease epidemic and keep our children safe, healthy, and disease-free. He's about to appoint Robert Kennedy to right? I mean, am I off the wall in asking if he's going to make that kind of prediction? He might well want to tell us what he has in mind, since the COVID vaccine was there and he was... You know what I'm saying. I mean, man is literally dangerous when it comes to these guys.
I'm not convinced, Harvey, that Kennedy gets through. I think there's some folks that have legitimate concerns about his capabilities in that role. I think to a similar extent, Tulsi Gabbard as well. I just don't know that these folks will actually get through. Now, unfortunately, historically speaking, only like 3% of a president's cabinet, you know, get rejected. So the odds are against it. But if it was going to happen, I think it would happen to those folks. 855-752-4842. Got a couple holding. CJ, our conservative buddy. Welcome, CJ. But you're happy today. What do you got for us?
Well, happy Martin Luther King Day, Don.
Thank you.
What a beautiful day it is, isn't it? Yes, and Harvey, it's scary you're still teaching kids. Because
I'm not. Just not. Don't worry, I'm not. I'm not. I'm Professor Emeritus. I am not teaching kids.
That's what emeritus means. But go ahead, CJ. What's your criticism of my pal Harvey here?
Well, the mere fact, the way he looks at history, I mean, this is an amazing day. Peace through strength. That's what you're seeing right now. It's almost like Jimmy Carter was in the presidency because hostages released.
Yeah, wasn't that a Biden? Biden did that deal, though, right? Okay, CJ, let me ask you, because I'm going to have to cut you short because we're only got a few
minutes. Let me say something.
Harvey. Go ahead, Harvey.
I think Jimmy Carter was an awful president.
An awful president. Hey, CJ, real quick, we've heard Donald Trump talk about successes and moving forward. How are you going to define success? He ran, and a lot of people voted for him on attacking, you know, the inflation and on the border and so forth. I mean, how do you define success in 30 seconds or less, CJ, for this administration?
Well, he's going to do something that's going to make life affordable, but.
What is that going to be, and how are you going to measure it? What is that going to be, and how are you measuring it?
Even if it goes to zero, Dom, things are 20% higher.
Okay, but he said he said on his first day he's going to get in there and he's going to make an effort, and this is going to happen. And then he backed off, and now he's saying it again. So I'm asking you, CJ, what's your measure of success? How do you measure that? The price of eggs is $4.99 on pickandsave.com. Is the price of eggs, is that it? Is it the GDP? Is it unemployment? Is it inflation? What's your measure of success, dude?
Well, I think we're going to see peace through strength.
All right, that's not an answer, but thanks for playing. 855-752-4842. Harvey, we got one more caller here. We got Mike from Muscadet. Hey, Mike, I bet you're happy today as well. Welcome. What do you got?
I am elated, my man. He is my man, the Trumpster. Hey, did you do the Trumpster shuffle? I got the dance down.
Nah, I think you and every other old white man has that dance down, Mike. I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked CJ. How are you measuring success in this administration?
I measure success with the Trumpster because, you know what? Peace in strength, like CJ said. And another thing, too, is I really was honored with his speech when he said that he's going to pay back the soldiers, male, female, that were run out of the military because they didn't want to take that clot shot.
The and COVID, but that wasn't, I'm sorry, Mike, but and thanks for the call, though. Harvey, we only got a few minutes left in this segment before we talk about something good. This vaccine, the COVID vaccine, was created, and Donald Trump will tell you, it was his creation. They pushed it through. No one would able to get it done, and then some folks had a problem with it. Now he pardons or lets them back in. Your thoughts on that whole issue?
To me, it's a minor question. More, you know, let him do it. I don't care. Honestly, don't care.
It is.
I mean, like that. I mean, it's just not. It's not consequential.
It is not consequential. I think that's
no. Pardoning all the folks who've been jailed for their participation in January 6th. That to me is more serious than.
And I think we're going to have to make solid efforts here, Harvey, over the next 4 years to sift out what is consequential and what is not. Folks, come back with us. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland.
Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations? And why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Let me take you, baby, down to the riverbed. Got to tell you something, go right to your
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me for the last segment. We're doing this one. Tell us something good. This has all been just like Justin's idea. We love it when we end on a positive note. And Harvey, I've been told you're going to play along as well. We got a caller who wants to jump in here. Mary from Tulsa, tell us something good. Welcome, Mary. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Dom, for taking my call. So I'm calling in to share my optimism for saving democracy. Along with civic media's advocacy, I want to encourage folks to support The Contrarian on Substack.
Mm.
It's co-hosted by two very knowledgeable and committed folks, Jennifer Rubin, a former columnist from The Washington Post, and Norman Eisen, and he was formerly with CNN. And so they're encouraging us to stand up to the new administration's outrageous actions. Keeping culture in it is really important. In other words, not just dealing with politics, but keep the art in it and the humor and so on. And I would just encourage people to support Substack, The Contrarian. You know, ideally, you know, financially supporting it doesn't cost very much. Wealth of information. Thanks for your advocacy.
No, right on, Mary. Thank you for playing and telling us something good. Go ahead, Harvey.
Mary left out another piece of good news in her own statement.
What's that?
Jennifer Rubin was a conservative.
Yeah.
Yes,
who became
was.
A liberal because of Trump. Let's be clear. Okay?
And she left the Washington Post because of Bezos.
Blasted him on her way out.
And, just lit his ass up on the way out, and justifiably so. The way that, Harvey, you know, the way the billionaires run in the media now, too. You know, this whole thing is just, it's just like we're eating ourselves, man. It's unbelievable. All right, Jess, you got something good. Let's hear it.
I do.
All right.
So I teach a Sunday school class every Sunday at my synagogue, and it's always a process. I've got seventh graders, and they are stinky and sullen, and they hate everyone. They hate themselves. They hate me. They hate the world.
So I'm still in seventh grade, basically.
Still in seventh grade. And so part of my journey with them is always getting them to trust me and open up and all of that. Well, this past Sunday, my classroom helper walked up to me, and he handed me a Warhead candy. So that's that really, really sour coated jawbreaker candy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love them. I absolutely love them. I love sour candies in general, and I especially love Warheads. And he's just like, this student wanted me to give this to you because he remembered that you really liked them. But he was too shy to do it himself. And so I just then had just a delightful little sweet, and it was just a beautiful little gift from a child whose trust I've gained over this time, who has shown that he doesn't actually hate everyone and everything in the world. And that was just something really good.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes, and he wanted to show you, Dom, that he believes in peace through strength, so he's giving you a war.
That one's for you, CJ. All right, Harvey K., how about you, man? You got something good for us to wrap up this otherwise dreary, weird day?
After my Mondays with Dom and Jess, I have dinner. And I know that tonight my wife has prepared one of my favorite winter dishes. It is chicken in a tomato sauce with some spices and seasoning and mushrooms thrown in. And I will open up a bottle of sparkling rosé, which is made in America, in Michigan. What it's worth.
Oh, okay? Nice.
Over near Traverse City.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Getting kind of hungry and thirsty just thinking about that. Mary,
sparkling rosé.
She texted in about tell us something good. Folks, you can tell us something good, 855-752-4842. Freeing Leonard Peltier is a great thing today. Of the pardons and commutations that President Biden has done, I would got to say that's probably one of the most worthy ones. Any thoughts on
that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, his sentence was commuted.
Today, 80 years old. I mean, it's and apparently with some health problems, so a little late, but at least he'll be out and be with his family on the tail end of what is left and remaining of his life. I guess mine, you kind of played it for me already. Jess, I went wormholing last week, and I've been just jamming Badfinger, the band.
Nice.
And I didn't know like how kind of tied in they were with the Beatles. And, you know, they had that kind of familiar sound. I didn't even know that they were that old of a band. Because I think that the song I Got a Line on You has been redone. Mm-hmm. Alice Cooper, I think, is probably where I initially heard it when I was growing up.
That makes sense.
And like the Hollywood Vampires and those cats. But I went back to the original and just I've really been enjoying the playlist, Badfinger, and all the other music that comes along with it. So,
all right.
Yeah, good stuff.
Music is always something good.
It is.
Always.
Okay. Well, I'll see you next week, of course.
Yeah.
And we'll get to talk about executive orders. How's that for a segment?
Oh, jeez.
There's a lot of them. Donald Trump signing executive orders as we speak right now. He just said, I'm going to be signing pardons of January 6th rioters tonight.
Did he use that word, rioters?
Well, that's the Chiron. I'm going to be signing a pardon. So, Harvey K., thank you so much for your time and for educating our fair audience. Professor, I know you're Professor Emeritus of Democracy. CJ will figure it out. He can learn a few things. Thank you for being around, being with us, and giving us your wisdom and insights. Always, my friend.
Thank you. Sorry about the Lions.
This is supposed to be something good. Thank you. Oh, Lions, a hell of a time. We'll do it again next year. Folks, have a wonderful evening. We'll do it again tomorrow. The lineup tomorrow, got a little overtime with Maggie Dawn to start the show. And then John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine going to join me as well. Thank you once again, Harvey. Thank you, Jess P.S., for everything you do and putting up with all that Trump sound today. Thank you for our fair audience. Have a wonderful night. Stay warm. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. After an indoor inaugural parade at Washington, D.C.'s Capital One Arena, President Trump is addressing his supporters there.
Tonight, I'm going to be signing on the J6 hostages' pardons to get them out.
In his inauguration speech earlier, Trump vowed to always put America first.
The golden age of America begins right now.
He will declare a national emergency at the southern border.
All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
The Senate Armed Services Committee has voted along party lines to advance Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth to the full Senate for confirmation, and other Senate committees are taking similar votes this evening. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.